This is Christ Together Radio. For the next hour, listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy discuss how God is working in the Church of Western New York. God is on a mission in Buffalo, and we want you to hear about what is happening and where it's happening, and join in. So grab that second cup of coffee and listen in to Christ Together Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Christ Together Radio. If you went to church this morning, which I hope you did, or maybe you're in church or on your way to church, hope it was as good for you as it was for all of us as we worship the Lord this morning and this Sunday. And we're privileged to be back in your car with you, in your living room with you, sharing what God is doing, what Christ is doing across not only Buffalo, but today we're going to talk about what God is doing across America. I'm Brett Larson, General Manager of WDCX Radio, and privileged to be with you here every week alongside my co-host, Ryan Cozy. He's the pastor of missional engagement at the chapel. And Ryan, it's been a great month or so of doing Christ Together Radio, and I'm looking forward to today especially.
Yeah, I'm excited too. It's every once in a while, like, it's always fun to talk about the local activity that's going on. It's incredibly encouraging. There's a lot of work to be done. There's a lot of work that's going on. But every once in a while, I think it's really good to pull out and say, well, what's going on nationally? Like, let's look at how what we're doing in Buffalo is connected to a larger picture of activity throughout the United States and into Canada even. And so I'm excited to talk about some of the national activity that's going on. I'm happy to have Will Plitt here with us this morning.
I am too. Last week, we had some great guy with the Clark brothers in here. Great conversation. Very real.
Yeah.
And it made me think a little bit, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And, you know, it's fun, too, because, you know, after those conversations, you know, the partnership continues. And when you're talking about race and you're talking about what's going on in the nation right now, those conversations deepen friendships. When we can have the freedom to speak with honesty and we can challenge our brothers and sisters in the faith to really think about healthy conversations about race. Mm-hmm. And how that, if the church can figure out how to not be divided on that, we have this unbelievable opportunity to tell a great narrative in this country. And I'm honored to work with Andre and Vincent and a handful of others. But in particular, those are great friends.
Yeah, last week we, you know, we're strongly within the Buffalo context. And as you mentioned, this week we're going to kind of look at what God might be doing elsewhere and kind of how we all fit into that.
Absolutely.
Who's going to join us today? Tell us.
Yeah, Will Plitz, he's going to join us. He's going to be calling in this morning. And Will is our national director for Christ Together. So he does a lot of shaking hands, kissing babies, handing out cards, and traveling all over the place. So he's a good friend. And it's been fun to see how God has used his skill set to advance us in the country.
Will, thanks for joining us this morning.
Great to be with you, Ryan and Brett. Thanks so much for having me.
Good. Will, before we have a couple of minutes here before we have to take a quick break, but before we do that, can you just kind of describe, number one, where you are right now, and also kind of what your role is and what you're doing in your role?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm calling in this morning from the Mid-South, the Mid-Atlantic region. So I live in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. So we're down here where we have an eroding base of cultural Christianity. There's mm-hmm. still a fairly strong remnant of that, though it's diminishing now. So I've been down here in the South really for my whole life.
You know why that is, Will? Because all the Northerners started moving down there.
That's right. You guys are jacking us all up.
And messed you all up.
Absolutely. So, yeah, it's been really, really a neat thing to observe how the church is having to reengage the South. So starting this past January, I had been leading the Southeast region for Christ Together, which now has spread out across the U.S. We'll talk more about that during this conversation. And then starting in January, I slid into the national role to give some time to that as our activity was kind of deepening and widening. We saw a real need to fill some leadership, to add some leadership, rather, into that space. So it has been an amazing ride to see what the Lord is doing all across our nation.
Well, we're glad you're joining us this morning. We're going to be back in just a minute with Christ Together Radio. Will Plitt joining us from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. You won't want to miss what's coming up.
This is Christ Together Radio with WDCX General Manager Brett Larson and Pastor Ryan Cozy, pastor of missional living at the chapel.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. Ryan Cozy, pastor of missional engagement at the Chapel, my co-host, and I'm Brett Larson, general manager of WDCX, and we're pleased to bring you Christ Together Radio every week, every Sunday at 11 a.m. here on WDCX, a show designed to just inform you of what God is doing and how God is moving in his church and how, you know, in the midst of a lot of bad news in our society, God is still at work, and his people are still at work, and he's still calling his church to share the good news of the gospel. And so this morning, as you heard just a few minutes ago, we're joined by Will Plitt, who is the national director of Christ Together, and he's just going to share with us in what God is doing in different contexts across the country, Ryan, and I'm really excited to have Will with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Will, one of the things that we want to do here this morning is, you know, the reality is people in Buffalo have been excited about a number of things that are going on. There's still plenty of work to be done in our region within the Church of Western New York and growing partnership and working hand in hand as we build trust and as we saturate our area with the gospel. But, you know, there's a lot of networks out there. There's a lot of denominations out there. And so when someone hears the phrase Christ Together, a lot of times, you know, when I explain, hey, it's a partnership of churches, a network of churches, they immediately say, well, what's distinguishably different about your network? Why should I be interested in this conversation? So I was wondering if you'd be willing just to take a moment to talk with us about significantly what's different about Christ Together. What's unique about this gathering of churches throughout the country?
Yeah, thanks so much. You know, as you mentioned, there's an immense amount which we all rejoice in, the activity that we're beginning to see across cities and kind of the conversation around city transformation and collaboration for our cities. So we really rejoice in that and really look most forward to working with different networks. Christ Together from the inception has always been a network that has been comprised of networks, denominations, and churches. So we, out of the gate, have really tried to, as much as we can, live underneath the debt of the activity that is happening in cities, and then how would we, as a network, provide envisioning for a city around what we would call our vision or our operating system that I'll walk through real briefly here, and how might we serve that through training and resources, and how might we serve that activity with coaching. So one of the kind of the operating system, we use this language a lot, like apps versus operating system, or you could even equate it to culture versus strategy. Really what we believe, what one of our unique calling cards has been to really help the church begin to measure or ask the question, what do you measure as success? So if we continue to go down the same trajectory and live into the same paradigm that we've seen over recent decades, we're watching as we do that, our cities become more lost and the needs become more profound year after year. So really Christ Together wants to address the operating system. We have a tendency to want to take apps and lay them over a broken operating system. And then we wonder why things aren't working or why we're not getting traction. So kind of three questions emerge that really help to set this, what we would call the aim of Christ Together. And then there's three questions that I think are just mission critical for any pastor in any city to ask. And the first question is, what does God want for my city? That's a big question. What rises up out of Scripture, and how might we answer that? The second question would be, what would it look like if God did that? Which really begins to take the church of a city to a very beautiful place. And then the third question would be, well, what would it take for us to get there? Those are kind of three foundational questions that we have really tried to bake into everything that we do. So from kind of a gathering of about 3 years ago, we really landed on what we believe is some really clear language and maybe what distinguishes us, not makes us better than, but maybe makes us different than some of the other activity out there. So what Christ Together is radically focused on is the outcome of gospel saturation. And the way that we would define the gospel saturation of a defined geography and a defined people within that geography is to unify the church so that we might give repeated opportunities for every man, woman, and child to hear, see, and respond to the good news. So we really take the gospel saturation of God's mission and really the heart of Jesus kind of at the center and at the bullseye. So, you know, for us, we don't put prayer in the center. We don't put even church planting in the center. We don't put mercy and justice in the center. We put gospel saturation in the center, but we do believe those are all vitally important, and you have to have all of those things if ultimately you're going to get at every man, woman, and child in the cities.
So as you're, I think this is an important thing to kind of pick up on here. So when you're talking about, you know, somebody can tune out when they hear, oh, unify the churches.
Yeah.
Not unity for the sake of unity, but rather unity toward the end goal of saturation. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. Great point, Ryan. You know, Tim Hawks of Hill Country Bible Church talks a lot when we do envisionings in different cities around John 17.
Mm-hmm.
And when you really look at the high priestly prayer, Jesus really defines for us what unity, the purpose of unity. And he says several times that they may be one. Why? So that the world may believe that you have sent me. So unity for us is for the sake of mission, as Jesus defines that. And so as we look at that passage, it's a beautiful question emerges from that. And Tim asks this in almost every city that he's in. He asks the question to the church that gathers there. Would the lost people of your city know that Jesus is divine, or that the Father has sent the Son by the way that the church is united?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what we're seeing across the nation is that, could it be that the missing apologetic to a lost world, according to what Jesus is addressing in John 17, is unity of the church?
Mm.
That's really interesting. And it's something that I've seen just as I continually experience what Christ Together is doing and the people that we've had on the radio, Ryan, is that I like what you said. It's not unity for the sake of unity.
Mm-hmm.
It's unity for the sake of the gospel, and that people don't have to necessarily drop their context of church,
mm-hmm.
Provided that they believe certain main principles, certain what we call orthodoxy.
Sure.
That we can come together if it's an Assembly of God church and a Baptist church, we can come together and rally around what we do know to be the calling of the church, and that's the gospel, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's funny too. I think part of my role in Christ Together in this region, mm-hmm. is when there are opportunities for me to teach this stuff,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's in a cohort of pastors in a gathering throughout the region. And a new one is, you know, at a seminary. So I happen to be a teacher at Northeast Seminary in Rochester by Roberts Wesleyan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, like this, the first conversation we had on Monday evening was, what do we put in the center of the bullseye?
Mm-hmm.
And so what Will was talking about earlier, you know, people want to put prayer in the center of the bullseye. People want to put justice in the center of the bullseye. People want to put, you know, fill in the blank in the center of the bullseye. And it's funny, when you put saturation in the center of the bullseye and you can draw these other things on the outside of the bullseye,
mm-hmm.
and basically these things, they do help towards saturation.
Mm-hmm.
But to put saturation outside of the bullseye, it kind of pulls us away from what we see scripturally. You know, I mean, the idea of Missio Dei, God's on a mission, okay? And it's not just a New Testament story to present, but from Genesis 1, he was on a mission. And he wants for folks to have this repeated opportunity to be in relationship with him. That's always been a design that he's had. And so the opportunity for us to finally kind of have that centrally located in a conversation, so that when there's points of tension, when there's confusion, we can remind ourselves of, why are we gathering?
Mm-hmm.
We're gathering for the sake of the saturation of the gospel. And, you know, just taking conversations like last week around race,
mm-hmm.
well, sometimes we have to remind ourselves what's at the center of the bullseye here.
Right.
And when saturation's at the center of the bullseye, it seems to be, it seems to draw us all back to, okay, this is a good bullseye that we have.
Yeah.
And it's going to help us in continuing on the conversation so that, like what Will was saying, the missing apologetic of unity, that unity around saturation, it compels all of us mm-hmm. to stay at the table. And I think that's a really important ingredient in this process.
Will, let me ask you this question. We talk about saturation, and I know, like, by definition, it's, you know, so that every man, woman, and child can have repeated opportunities to hear and see the gospel. Can you maybe break that out for us in practical terms? Like, when do you finally say in a city, hey, we're actually doing really well here? Like, what measurement point?
Yeah, no, that's great. Brian, do you want to jump in on something?
Yeah, no, sure. I think we have, actually, this is one of the things I love about what I get to do with Christ Together. We begin to take the temperature of the church. And what I mean by that is, and one of the things I love about this organization, this network, is we're not just talking about saturation, we're trying to metric against our impact toward it. And so one of the ways that we have felt has been really important to do that is, you know, whatever God's going to do in the world, he's going to do through all of his people, mm-hmm. not just the rock star communicators in the region. So for us, it's not just about, you know, what Ken Nash is going to do at Hamburg Wesleyan, or what John Sherholtz is going to do at Kenmore Alliance, or what Arnie Gwynn's going to do in Whitehaven, or, you know, Jerry Gillis at the chapel. I mean, there's a variety of other examples I could
sure.
use. It's not just about what they're going to do. It's what is the mobilizing feature of their people. And so at Christ Together, we've actually designed an assessment that when churches start developing a strategic plan to engage the lostness of their geography, we start with what is the actual activity or non-activity of your people? Mm-hmm. And so we've actually designed an 82-question survey. It's a larger one where we examine how are people doing in their spiritual formation? And then how are they doing as it relates to engaging lostness? And this isn't just, we surveyed 10 churches. We've surveyed 60,000 evangelicals in the United States.
Right.
We've collected almost 5 million points of data. Mm-hmm. And this goes back to, you know, some of the first episodes that we cut. What that has revealed to us mm-hmm. is the discipleship crisis, the idea that spiritual formation has been, it's been divorced from missional engagement.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we begin to point that out to churches, when churches begin to embrace the true bottom of where they're at, I believe it does a couple things. One, it's a sobering look at where their people are at. And then number two, it is a point of desperation. They get mm-hmm. desperate before God. And I think that's a really big part of how this unity grows. And then what we begin to do is we don't just say, well, and you all suck and now it's over. We say, okay, now you know where you're at. And so collectively, churches, next year, where do we want to be next year?
Right.
And where do we want to be the year after that? And
right.
and actually, you can take those aggregate numbers
yeah.
and you can benchmark them against the total population of the geography you're taking responsibility for.
Dr. David Wheeler from Liberty University, I don't know if you've
heard the name.
Ever
yeah.
heard of his courses or whatever, but he teaches, he's the director of evangelism there in the seminary, and he defines discipleship differently, or he says we have to look at it differently,
mm-hmm.
that we've looked at it in a linear fashion where you just constantly gain more knowledge, you constantly grow.
Yeah.
We need to start thinking of it cyclically.
Yeah.
Like, in other words, if you're
yeah.
a good disciple, you're making another one who's making another one who's making another one. And that's, I think, kind of what you're saying here with this survey, just to put it in layman's
yeah.
terms.
Yeah, absolutely.
That people out there can understand is that what we need to start looking at is, are we making more? That's a sign of maturity, as if you're making more, correct?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And yeah. I would say this, when we go into a city, do all the churches immediately say, I want to ask the hard questions? No, typically no. But a handful of them do. And so you begin to go with the horses that want to move. And what happens is, over time, as they begin to influence others, you begin to have a larger platform.
I want to kick this question to Will. We got to take a quick break, and then I want Will to jump in here because he's on the phone with us, and we only have him for a little while here. So we're going to get back to Will in just a minute. You're listening to Christ Together Radio. Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy, joined by Will Plitt, who's the National Director of Christ Together Network of Ministries and Churches. And we'll get right back to you in just a minute.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio, where talk show hosts and producers have hair. That's right, Boron. We got some hair down in here.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. Brett Larson hosting today, general manager of WDCX, alongside Ryan Cozy, who's the pastor of missional engagement at the chapel here in Buffalo. And we've, the last month or so, we've been talking about what God is doing as we share Christ across our region in different ways and different contexts and how that looks. Today, we're taking it national. We're talking with Will Plitt, who is the national director of Christ Together. He's out of Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and just kind of been sharing with us some of the I guess I'd say philosophy, for lack of a better word, or some of the ideals behind what Christ Together does. And we want to go a little further with that, Will and Ryan, and kind of just share the background or the underlying mm-hmm. principles of what Christ Together is, correct?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So when we left the last segment, we said we wanted to come back to Will. So Will, just picking up on the conversation, what would you like to add to that going into this next segment?
Yeah, yeah. I think when we look out across the United States, and you know, right now Christ Together has an active working presence in 62 cities across our nation. And you ask the question, Brad, you know, what constitutes a city or a group of churches being in with Christ Together? And I think it's a really great question. And I love how Ryan addressed, you know, from a lot of the data and kind of numbers that we've been crunching, and Ryan could affirm this more specifically, but I think it's worth noting that, you know, when you survey the church across the United States and you look at, you know, the Great Commission, and you look at the percentage of Christians, the overwhelmingly large percentage of Christians don't believe that the Great Commission personally applies to them.
Mm-hmm.
So they view the Great Commission as the great option.
Yeah, yeah, it's the mission. It's the missions budget.
And so, you know, coupled with the fact that, you know, when Jesus gives the apostles, you know, the really the commissioning in Acts 1:8, is that most Christians in the U.S. don't feel the weight of Acts 1:8 as well. So those are very real pain points for us. So how do we get at that? You know, so as we defined already what's at the center for us is gospel saturation, but we also believe around that center that you've got to be about continually four priorities, or you have to have four constants working to drive the church of the city toward this. And one of those constants would just simply be mobilization. You know, and that's just saying, in answering the question, is the church willing to own the lostness of a defined people in a defined place? And then how would we begin to equip and mobilize God's people to live as sent missionaries to where they live, work, and play? So there's a circle of accountability that we're asking churches, would you be willing to draw a circle of accountability around where God has placed you and say, we're willing to own the lostness that's here? You know, who's here? How many people are here? What's the spiritual temperature of our community? And then would you be willing to draw a second circle around your city and say we're willing to work with other churches to own the lostness together? So that's one constant that we believe has to be present. But the second one, and Ryan touched briefly on this, is the transformation priority. And that's just simply saying that God's people, empowered by His Spirit, are growing in the character and competencies of Jesus. So when Dallas Willard, you know, asked the two most important questions around discipleship, what is your plan for making disciples? And secondly, is your plan working? I believe, even carried that a step further to go, well, how would you measure if your plan is working? And so transformation, if we're going to get gospel saturation, we're going to have to mobilize transformed disciples for the harvest. The third priority or concept that is there, and we've touched on this a little bit, is collaboration. And collaboration is just simply saying no one church, no matter what size or how much influence they have, or no one network or no one denomination is going to be able to get the job done alone. So how do we work together, unity for the sake of mission, to see the gospel saturation happen? So one of the questions that we throw out in cities is to pastors is this: do you view yourself as the pastor of a church in a city, or do you view yourself as a pastor of the church in the city? how you answer that question really determines a lot. That's like the Matrix. That's the red pill, blue pill. Depending on how you answer that, that really changes the trajectory of how you lead that local expression. So collaboration is, not viewing that as a nice thing to do, but we have to view that as a necessary thing to do. And lastly is the constant of the priority of multiplication, that if you're going to get after gospel saturation for every man, woman, and child, you're going to have to multiply at all levels, disciples, leaders, and churches. We're going to have to see church planting as foundational for the full evangelization of a place. Planting churches in the harvest and from the harvest are going to be mission critical to get at that. So, you know, in all the cities that we have a presence in, we're working primarily with and through the local churches. This has to be local church owned and local church led. So how do we help the local church take greater ownership of understanding the nature and purpose of why God has placed them there and the nature and purpose of the local church to carry forth a Missio Dei in a local geography? So all the cities that we have a part of Christ Together, there would be a commitment from the church of the city toward the outcome of gospel saturation and those four priorities that we put around the bullseye.
So we're looking at, we're seeing mobilization of everyday people. We want to see the transformation in their life and their spiritual formation, because that's going to compel them to engage, compel them to do more. Collaboration for churches organizationally, the idea that you are one expression of the bride in a city where God has placed you, and therefore it necessitates partnership. The idea that one church could do this, one church expression could do this, it really is laughable when you look at the data on it.
There's no way.
And then multiplication, the idea that what's here presently needs to grow. It grows as we begin to repurpose existing churches and help them in employing a more saturation-oriented mindset. And then also that there's birth that's being given to new expressions of the church. If you're not tracking these things, okay, and this is the point I want to make, what happens is in each of these buckets, you begin to chase anecdotes. Okay, so for mobilization, I can always find one person in my church that's mobilized.
Right.
But that one person, what is that one person's activity versus the other 5,000? Mm-hmm. Transformation, the idea that Christ followers are growing and they're changing, and as a result, the outflow of that is changing their geography. I can always find one or two people who are doing that. But what about the big middle? Right, churches in collaboration. Well, I can give you a handful of churches that are collaborating. This is one of the strong passions that I have here in Western New York. I love the idea that we have a large enough base of churches that they themselves are starting to identify as the Church of Western New York. Mm-hmm. That's very exciting to me. Yeah. Here's the reality.
You've got your own hashtag.
Yeah, it's here's the reality though. It's not the full representation of all those churches, and so until we get there, I labor toward that end. And then lastly, I can also find a church that wants to plant another church. That's great, but that's not multiplication. That's addition. And so the collective effort and tracking the collective effort, that's a big deal for us, and that's something that we're passionate about.
Okay, so there's all the theory and the philosophy, and the kids in the back of the class are sleeping. So let's wake up and give me some examples of what that might look like, or maybe a city other than Buffalo. We've talked about Buffalo for a little while here, so let's get off of Buffalo.
Yep.
Where has that happened? What does it look like? What are some of the hurdles, and what are some of the wins?
Sure. Will, why don't you take that up nationally? What are you seeing?
Yeah. So I think one is the realization that cities, there's been some cities that have been at this for a while. So you have Buffalo, you have examples in Chicago, you have Austin, and then you have a lot of cities that are just at the front end of really setting this DNA or really establishing this culture to go after this. But we're seeing some really, really incredible things. I think back most recently to an envisioning that we did with the key churches in Kansas City. We'll be back there in November talking to a broader group of the church of the city. But it was fascinating to sit there because for a couple of different reasons. One, these would be more of the churches and the leaders of influence of that city. So Kansas City is a fairly large city. And as I was sitting there and just listening to their heart, it was one of those few times where we begin to see this more and more, where we didn't have to convince them of gospel saturation, every man, woman, and child. They were already there. They were then asking the next set of questions. What do you see, and what do we now do to unite the church for this? And it was really, really fascinating, because there was a great mix and diversity around these 11 leaders. And one of the leaders there had a collar on. So I'm sitting there kind of doing an inventory of, okay, is he Episcopal, or is he Anglican, or is he Methodist, or, you know. So Catholic was my last one down on the list. And so when it came to introduce himself, he was a Catholic priest in the city. He's at this table for collaboration. And I loved what he said. He said, God has put me in a position to be over the Catholic churches in this city, and we have many, many church buildings in some of the most strategic parts of the city, and there's very few people sitting in those buildings anymore. Mm. And he said, I love Jesus. I want to see churches planted, and I'm at this table because I believe there's more that we can do together than by ourselves. So one of the leading evangelical pastors, when it got to him, he turned to the Catholic priest and he said, I have a great idea. He said, why don't we blow the people away in our city and plant a church together?
Hmm.
And everybody in the room, including me, kind of laughed, because he has a great sense of humor. And he was like, no, I'm serious. Let's talk about this after this meeting and see how we might work together to see the gospel planted in these parts of the city.
Hmm.
So, I mean, so they're at the front end of that. Obviously, you guys know the Buffalo story. Another great story is what's happening in Austin, Texas.
Yeah, talk a little bit more about Austin.
Yeah, so Hill Country Church pulled together about another 10 churches, and they formed a strategic council for the city. And they began to raise a bunch of money, and they set the culture, and they began to go after every man, woman, and child in Austin. And so currently they've got close to 370 churches across the city working together at various levels, ultimately focused on the outcome of gospel saturation. So they've done a couple of campaigns. One was Explore God. They're in the finishing stages now of their second campaign called Love Where You Live, which for the first year of that campaign, they simply help equip pastors and staff of those churches to learn how to reach their neighbors. Because the reality is, for us as pastors, if we don't own this at a heart level, if we're not on mission, if we're not making disciples, then it becomes something very difficult. You can't export what you haven't imported.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
so
one of those things.
They spent a year doing that, and then now the church this year is engaged. And so they think at the end of this campaign, and we'll put all of this data out there on the website, that they'll have the opportunity to give gospel access and gospel proclamation to about 250,000 people in the city.
Wow.
Because of engagement of the church that they're involved. So that's a great example of how the private sector has embraced what they're doing for their city. The church has rallied together. So it's just another great example. And there's many. We could spend a long time talking about different cities. But that's a great example of what the Spirit of God is doing in other places.
And I think one of the things that I've enjoyed most in the Austin story is Pastor Tim Hawks. One is just, I'd follow that guy. I think Bill Bright talked about charging hell with a squirt gun if he had to. Well, I would pick up a squirt gun and charge the gates of hell with Tim Hawks. I mean, he's just he's one
absolutely
of those types of character guys that you're like, man, I want to follow this guy.
Right.
But you know what I've loved about the Austin story is Tim will not walk away from the conversation about, but what are everyday people doing with this? And so the idea of the art of neighboring and loving and leading, loving and serving where you're at, everyday people have to be a part of this if it's really going to happen. And I think Austin is really telling us a lot in terms of how they're learning and growing and how they're challenging us to learn and to grow.
I want to talk about that. We have to take a break in just a minute here, but before we go, I want to follow up with everyday people and maybe some practical things that people out there are listening. A couple different people might be listening. number one, they want their church to be a part of this, but they're not really a pastor or even an elder or a leader in their church. What can they do? Number two, what can just everyday people do to start engaging with this without even necessarily being a part of Christ Together? Like, what can we do as everyday people in our neighborhoods? And you started to touch on it there, Ryan, but because that's what's at the core of this. Pastors can get together all day long and discuss this and come up with schemes and strategies and everything else. But until people engage in this, that's what it takes. It takes massive amount of people doing this. So I want to talk about that when we come back. You're listening to Christ Together Radio. We're with Will Plitt is joining us actually from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. He's the director of Christ Together Ministry or Christ Together Network. And Will, what's the name of your church?
Calvary Baptist Church.
Calvary Baptist Church. And a good Baptist boy. And I grew up Baptist, so, you know, that's okay. No, we'll talk later. No, so anyway, Will's joining us and Ryan Cozy, the pastor of Missional Engagement from the chapel. And we're going to be back in just a minute. We're going to follow up with our discussion and talk about what you can do to engage in God's mission.
Remember when R2-D2 had a special message for Obi-Wan? Well, the gospel is kind of like that, but it's not a secret, and it's from God, and it's life-changing. And, well, okay, so it's nothing like that, but it's really awesome, and God is doing great things in Western New York. Here's Ryan Cozy and Brett Larson.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. Brett Larson sitting here with my co-host Ryan Cozy. We're talking with Will Plitt. He's the director of Christ Together Network and across the country. And we've been talking about what gospel saturation looks like, how churches can come together, Christian leaders can come together in agreement under the necessity for us to be sharing the good news of the gospel and us to be joining hands and joining arms together. And as Ryan says, charging the gates of hell with a squirt gun.
Sorry. If we have to.
If we have to. And but just... It's been a good discussion, and it's been, a lot about the philosophy and the reasons behind it, which we have to have. We have to have reasons, and they're biblical reasons. The church in America is, as many believe, is in a crisis. But as I think you pointed out, Ed Stetzer, came out with a survey that says, hey, if we're losing the nominal Christians in our church, that may not be an altogether bad thing.
Yeah.
And I think this is kind of the result of that, is that we're going, hey, wake up, everybody.
Yeah.
And it's a wake up call. So it's, in a way, it's a good thing. And the church always grows, right, when it's most persecuted. And we don't really want that. That's not really fun.
Right.
But, let's bring it back to Christ Together and what everyday people can do, Ryan.
Absolutely.
To make a difference.
Yeah, and this is, I mean, one of the passions that I have and enjoy about being part of Christ Together is just the, when we gather as national leaders, one of the most important questions, and this was a thing that Tim Hawk started a few years ago. He's like, I'm happy to talk about our cities, but we must always talk about individually what God is doing in our neighborhoods. And if you don't have stories about what God's doing through you, and then it's not personal, it's just organizational. That's a problem. And so when we're talking with everyday people, someone's in a car right now going, wow, I'm really excited about this. I don't know that my pastor would be interested in this, but I'm excited about this. What can I do? I think that's a great question. I think one of the things that we always encourage people to start with, number one, is make sure that you're growing spiritually close to God. And so we talk about just pursuing daily intimacy with God. Everything flows out of you being close to the Lord. And as it relates to just engaging mission, there's four things that we really try to make very simple for an everyday follower of Christ. Number one is identify. And what I mean when I say that is I want you to take a moment and think about whether it's your family, your friends, your coworkers, or your neighborhood. I want you to identify people in those areas of influence that you have. Identify those that you're pretty sure they're far from the Lord, and you long to see them come to know Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. Write their names down. Be accountable to this, okay? The second thing is to pray, to specifically pray for these people, that you have to come to grips with the idea that people are born, people live, people die, people are judged. We believe this, and I know that not everybody wants to talk about this, but there's a judgment that happens when we draw our last breath. And so as you identify these people, you begin to pray for them, and you begin to say, Lord, draw them to you. By your irresistible grace, draw these people to you. You regularly pray for these people. The third thing is you engage them. And this is one where, you know, there have been plenty of books have been written about this. Draw the circle. Just walk across the room. Mm-hmm. Tangible kingdom. These are all books that are hitting at this idea. Just begin to do something. Begin to act. And as you're identifying these people, you're praying for these people, ask God to help you on how to engage them. It could be something incredibly simple. You see somebody's going through a difficult time, and you begin to specifically engage them about what's going on. You love them. You serve them. And hopefully it begins to beg a question, what's different about you? Okay, so you're just engaging people regularly. You're asking God to help you figure out ways that you can engage people relationally. And then the last thing is you look to share. And so obviously there's a lot of people that get worried about, am I going to say the right thing? I'm going to say the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. Saying something, if you're identifying these people, you're praying for them, you're engaging them, you're looking for the opportunities to share. My experience has been God will give you those opportunities. Mm-hmm. And so you may not be the most eloquent evangelist. You may not be the best person to sit down and have a conversation with someone, but you are fulfilling that great commission component. That the synoptics talk about it. John talks about it. Acts talks about it. This is your opportunity to be a part of that Great Commission living, where we're identifying, we're praying, we're engaging, and we're looking for those opportunities to share. And for somebody who's never done that before, where we usually take them in our church is write out your story of grace in a letter. Just write it out in a letter. And then think about between now and Christmas, for instance, who are 3 to 4 people that you could give that letter to? Where you just write to them and say, look, I just want to share this with you. And people, they worry about this, but the reality is if you're not doing these sorts of things, you're missing these great opportunities. So identify, pray, engage, and share. And as you do these things more regularly, as you work these muscles out in your missional behavior, you get better at it.
And there's nothing to fear. I mean, God's word even tells us that God's never going to ask you to share the gospel where he hasn't already gone before you. Mm-hmm. We see that in Acts with Lydia. The Bible tells us that, you know, God went before Paul as he spoke, and Lydia responded to the gospel. And that's a biblical principle, that he's never going to put you in a situation where you're going to mess it up so bad that God can't fix it.
Yeah.
So the fear, really, if we really believe this, if we really believe that the Bible is true, that God is a holy and righteous God and there's a judgment coming, how can we not share?
Yeah.
And but that should really motivate us, shouldn't it? Especially,
absolutely.
I mean, we have loved ones or neighbors or people around us. And I think sometimes we just, you mentioned earlier about how we've kind of separated missions from, or evangelism from, our discipleship process in the church. And we've almost kind of decided to have a missions budget.
We outsource it.
Yeah. And we've third party, if it's for the evangelist that comes in and has the revival meeting in the tent, and it's for the guy that's over in, you know, Tonga, West Africa. And for me, I just got to keep getting close to the Lord, getting close. And in some ways that whole cultural mentality has really hurt, what we're trying to resurrect with Christ together.
Yeah, absolutely. Will, I'd be interested in anything you want to add to the identify, pray, engage, share thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think first and foremost, I couldn't agree more with what you're both saying. I think that if the numbers are true, which we know they're true in the United States, and many, many cities are dropping beneath the 10% threshold, 10% or less of a city is following Christ, then what that means is there is a vast harvest all around us. And so, you know, to go back and pick up an earlier conviction, we believe that whatever God wants to do in the world today, he wants to do through all his people. So I think for everyday Christians, it's the realization in our country that we do not have an information problem. We have a transformation problem. And we have set up so many of our environments, our church environments, to come and receive and sit and soak, and it has not made it. It's a cognitive Christianity that hasn't made its way into the heart in many, many ways, and that we just, that causes us to not see the immense harvest that is around us. You know, I tell I tell my friends all the time that love Jesus, I say, you know, the same Holy Spirit that indwelt the Apostle Paul and John and Peter and faithful saints throughout history is the same Holy Spirit that indwells you. Hmm. You have been given through Christ, by His Spirit, all that you need to live for His glory and for His mission. And that all around every one of us are people who are far from God but close to you. And so I think the prayer piece is even adding into the prayer piece of like, Jesus, help me to see the harvest.
Right.
That's around me. We just don't see, or maybe we choose not to see the brokenness. And I love how, I think it was Alan Hirsch, how he defined missional living. And it's just such a simplistic definition. It's to the tune of ordinary people living ordinary lives, doing ordinary things with gospel intentionality.
Hmm.
And that just always really resonated with me. And so I think this culture that we're talking about and setting this culture, setting this DNA around gospel saturation, if you can begin to multiply new churches across our country that have this DNA, what they're going out of the gate with is this. It's a question, has God called you to plant a church or reach a city? Those would be two different paradigms. And so a young man by the name of Dustin Connor that we're getting ready to send to Calgary, Canada, a complete post-Christian context. Mm-hmm. Best data is that there's only 5% of the population that's Christian.
Mm.
So going to Calgary, Canada, not to plant a church that will reach the city themselves, because you're talking about 0.01 or 2% ultimately of the population. But how do you mobilize 5% of the Christian population to begin to engage the 95% that do not know, love, and worship Jesus? That's a different starting point.
Right. Yeah.
And so I could not agree more with what Ryan is saying. It's imperative that if we're not if we're only mobilizing pastors and staff, that's just a very small percentage of the church population in the United States. We're going to have to really look at how we equip all of God's people for His mission.
Hmm.
And, well, I don't know if you realize this, but our station covers a very large portion of Southern Ontario, which includes the city of Toronto. So I'm sure the Calgary mission, falls on good ears. And there's some prayer warriors possibly in Canada that can continue to pray for the country and pray for what you guys are doing in Calgary, for sure.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, hey, guys, anything else you want to say? Well, I know you have a kind of what we call a hard stop, which means you have to run. You have another phone call to get to today. But any final thoughts on what you want to share before you leave us here?
No, I would just say maybe just a closing thought on what we're seeing God do across the nation. You know, as Ryan mentioned at the beginning of the call, I tell the Buffalo story everywhere I go. Hmm. And so it's just amazing what God continues to do through the Church of Buffalo to engage every man, woman, and child. And there's stories like that happening all over the United States. And the thing that's exciting is that I believe we're seeing in our time two things. One, the greatest decline of Christianity on our watch. But at the same time, I believe that the large kind of dormant Christian infrastructure that is present in our country is being reawakened again for God's mission. And I don't know if it's desperation, and maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's desperation that's driving us to ask a different set of questions and begin to look at things differently. But what God is beginning to do all across our nation, city after city, in different contexts, is something that only God can do. And so, man, it's just exciting to be a part, to be able to witness some of what the Lord is doing across. And we're just so thankful for you, Brett, and for your heart, and for what y'all are doing in Buffalo, Ryan. Your story is connected to so many other stories all across the United States.
Thanks, Will. It's been a privilege to have you today. Hey, before we go, we were talking in one of the breaks, and Ryan had mentioned something about wanting to step in a ring and fight you. I'm not even sure why he said that, but I don't know. Just throwing it out there.
I would love to do it. Perhaps we could maybe video that. I had to show that on
Ryan. Now you have to tell us why that's funny.
Yeah, he's got a crazy experience. Like, I think he's like a what rank are you in Hapkido and Taekwondo?
Yeah. So before I started serving Jesus Church many years ago, I ran Taekwondo and Hapkido school. So I trained with a very prominent Korean master, and I was a fifth degree black belt in Taekwondo, a third degree black belt in Hapkido. So that's kind of my history. So these guys give me a really hard time about wanting to pick a fight with me, which I've never understood that.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
And just for the record, I've never done that because I wrestled enough years to know, like, yeah, those martial arts guys, you gotta kind of stay away from them.
So, but good news for Ryan is that I'm retired, and so I'm more of a lover than a fighter now.
Phew!
I think
you'll
be in good shape.
That's great, Will. Well, thank you, brother, and God bless.
Likewise. It was so good to be with y'all today.
You too. Ryan, a great conversation with Will, and I don't know. I'm kind of speechless in a way, because like, how do you... There's just a lot of work to be done, and a lot of volume of information, and it's hard to find a place to start.
It's overwhelming. The reality is, too, I think this is the tension point we have in this show, is we want to tell stories of what God is doing. We want to make sure that we underlie what we're doing with a good method and a philosophy and a biblical conviction. That's the biggest one. But at the end of the day, we've got to remember, like, how does all of this translate to an everyday follower of Christ? What are they doing as they're driving around in their car, listening to this, or sitting at home? So,
it's important. I think that just what you guys were saying is get a name mm-hmm. in your head, begin to pray and begin to act, and let God do the hard work, and He does the heavy lifting, and mm-hmm. we just got to have a passion. Really, when you pray for a passion for people, that stuff happens.
Yeah.
God begins to bring names. He begins to bring people into your life that need to hear the gospel. And I think you, and it started way back in one of our early shows with Dan Trippi, mm-hmm. is that intimacy with God, that time in the Word, which is His revelation to us. It's His gift to us of what He wants to tell us. Time there and time in prayer is going to just open up your heart for that. So we have a great show coming up next week. Some more Christ Together buddies jumping on with us, and we're looking forward to it, Ryan, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Christ Together Radio, Ryan Cozy and Brett Larson. We'll see you next week right here at 11 a.m. on Sunday.
Thanks for listening to Christ Together Radio. To join in, email Brett and Ryan at ctr@wdcxradio.com. Join us next week for more great discussion about Christ together.